This is Best Practice on RN. I'm Lisa Leong. Imagine loving chocolate but not being able to eat what's on the supermarket shelves. Lizette Armstrong took this need and turned it into her side hustle. For 2 years, she came home from her corporate job and cooked, sometimes until 3 o'clock in the morning. Making chocolate that she could eat. We're talking egg-free, dairy-free, vegan-friendly chocolates. The business became so successful that Lizette gave up her day job to create Treat Dreams. Lizette joins me from the Sydney studio. G'day, Lizette.
Hello.
Now, ever since hearing about your business name, Treat Dreams, I've got Annie Lennox's Sweet Dreams in my head, and I'm wondering whether you had that music playing when you came up with that name.
Oh, I tell you, I'd love to buy the rights for that. Turn that into a jingle. It would be perfect.
I can see the ad campaign now. So how did this all come about?
Well, I was going through a bit of a period at work where I wanted more of a creative outlet, and cooking is one of those things that's been really shown to help relieve stress and anxiety. So I got myself into the kitchen and started tinkering away. And it all sort of ballooned from there when I realised I had too much product at home for myself and my husband to get through.
Does this actually come from personal sort of intolerance for chocolate in some way?
Well, funnily enough, my father can't eat chocolate. It gives him migraines, such a sad thing to have. But for me, I'm lactose intolerant. And so I was finding that a lot of the treats that were available to me that you would often turn to when you want something nice to make you feel great, it was actually making me feel sick. So it really went from there.
Right. And so you started cooking in your kitchen. Who did you test your chocolates on?
Well, my husband has actually been a great taste tester for me along the way. But I know that one of the things that happens with vegans or people who choose not to eat dairy or any other food is their palates can change quite quickly. So it's really important for me that we always tested it on people who do eat the regular off-the-shelf products and make sure that it matches the standard. And in many cases, we're told it's actually better. So all of the non-vegans are our taste testers.
Wow. And so what were the early products like? What was the reaction to those?
So our first product was actually a version of a cream egg. We use dark chocolate, which helps balance the sweetness on the inside. And it makes it a bit more of a grown-up adult version of something that's a bit more traditional that we've grown up with and just turned into something that our grown-up palates appreciate. So we started with a cream egg. In fact, the first version of that was one that my husband made for me as a surprise, and little did he know he was getting us in for a busy few years ahead. Haven't had a quiet Easter since then. But since we started putting that onto the shelves, it's been actually really tricky to keep people stocked in Easter because it just sells so quickly. We're going through about 1,000 eggs per day over the Easter period in production. So it's been a popular one.
That's incredible. Now, you're not still doing this from your kitchen, are you?
No, thankfully not. Those days are behind us, thankfully. But, we didn't have any air conditioning. It was very difficult to temper chocolate in an environment that you couldn't temperature control. So, thankfully, we've moved a few times since we started. It started at home in the kitchen. Then it was a shared commercial kitchen where we rented a single bench. From there, we grew to take over an unused Italian restaurant in Leichhardt, and to finally now we've got our own dedicated vegan kitchen facility. We took over Adriana Zumbo's previous kitchen in Roselle.
Right. Now, I've got to ask you, so when I heard it was egg-free, dairy-free and vegan-friendly,
yeah,
I thought, what could it possibly be made out of? And I had these visions of carrots in there. So
no.
What's in there?
A whole lot of sugar and fat, basically. So we're definitely in the decadence part of the vegan chocolate industry.
Yes. Right.
You've got this spectrum of people that choose to eat according to different diets or ethics. And at one end, there are people that might make the choice for health reasons. And at the other end, you've got our customers.
I see.
So they've typically made the choice to go vegan because of perhaps an intolerance or for the animal simply. And then from there, we're about reconnecting them with their childhood memories and that nostalgia, things that they might be missing out on otherwise.
Now, the interesting part of your story is that it's become so successful that, in fact, you've turned your side hustle into a full-on hustle. So
that it is.
What's some advice about how you actually did that switch, and was it hard?
It really was hard. It was hard for in ways I didn't expect it to be. At first, it was this glorious creative outlet that that made the day-to-day job a whole lot easier for having that outlet. However, as things with the side hustle got busier and busier, my day job did as well. So we went through some management changes, the role changed, and everything just came to a bit of a crescendo, and it became harder and harder to juggle all the balls. So the juggling was things like staying at the day job until, well, night job sometimes, until 7 or 8 or 9, then coming home, washing up and getting straight into doing the side hustle. That became pretty unsustainable when I had an accident in the kitchen, which involved pouring molten sugar all over my hand and losing a fair bit of skin. Any chef will tell you they've done something like that in their time a fair few times. It is one of the hazards of the job when you're tired.
Yeah, that's why I try not to go into the kitchen at all.
Yeah, smart. So from there, it became clear I needed to hire staff. So while I was off at the day job, I was then employing several casual staff in the business to run that for me. And that was great because it allowed us to grow and get into stockers. But over time, it became clear that my going into the day job to work was certainly helping to fund the business. But over time, I was effectively outsourcing so much that the decision point came of, is it really worthwhile going into the day job? Yes, I miss the paycheck, no doubt about it. But now there's time to invest in the business to make it grow more.
And how did you build that bridge so that you had enough financial security to go to full time?
I could not have been luckier that the business actually made me redundant around the time I was having this dilemma of how to manage. So I was very, very lucky that after 5 years in that particular role, redundancy came through, and then that investment was able to go into the commercial lease for the new premises we were setting up, a machine upgrade, etc. So very, very fortunate.
So it's kind of like the universe made that decision a lot easier for you.
It would seem so, definitely.
And so you had to then make the leap. Are you worried that this creative outlet, now that it's a full-time job, that it might turn into something maybe a bit more onerous?
Absolutely. It's something that I was actually reflecting on this week, was this idea of, you know, they say, do the thing you love and you'll never work a day in your life. However, whatever we turn into our job does lose some of the magic. It becomes a job and it's the thing that we go and we do every day. The key for me to keep it really creative and passionate and an outlet is to make sure that myself and the team are still getting time to invest in new menu items and new product development, because that's where the creative juices really flow. And then we share the load on making sure that the day-to-day production happens, because we don't make the money on the creative work, we make the money on that creative work turning into production. However, to keep us all engaged, that creative time is still really critical.
Maybe you'll get a new side hustle as a marketer in a corporate job. That could be your side hustle.
Keep the cash flow coming in, can't hurt.
Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck with Treat Dreams.
Thank you so much.
Lizette Armstrong from Treat Dreams. And thank you also to our producers, Muda Tadias, Verica Jokic, and our technical producers, Jennifer Parsonage and Ari Gross. And Richard Aidy will be back in the chair next week. You can hear this program all over again by going to the Best Practice website or downloading it from the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Lisa Leong. Thanks for joining me. Sweet.